concludes our public hearings for the evening.
No.
Huh?
We've got ordinances.
Oh, that's right, the ordinances, I forgot about.
We moved to the back.
In fact, I guess it's too late to move them to the very end, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, well, let's do the ordinances. Sorry about that.
And if I may suggest, since they both talk about the exact same topic combined.
Can we consider them as one?
We have to make a recommendation separately.
Okay. All right, I'm going to read both of these into to the record, and then we can discuss them, but we have to vote on them separately. Everybody got that?
Yep.
Okay, it's an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision application, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts. And an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts, with a provision for further extension upon written request. Okay, you go. Council or Lawrence, do you want to give us a...
I can give some background on this. As you know, the current time extension ordinance granted the extensions until the end of the prior year, and county council wanted to review opportunities to, you know, deal with that. And I think you have a copy of the memo in the materials, and then the two ordinances are basically the three results would be do nothing, and then everything that wasn't underway would expire. And then we looked at, well, we could do a across-the-board extension of all the approvals until some definite date. And then one of the things that I was tasked with doing was looking at, you know, how other jurisdictions have dealt with this, because, you know, as you might expect, Sussex County is not alone in dealing with this very issue, and you can go all over the place and find different ways of dealing with it. And the ways that other jurisdictions have dealt with it is to grant an across-the-board extension or to make the folks that have the approvals request them. And in most of those cases, you know, there was some minimal level of information that the folks had to supply along with that request. And in talking with, you know, the county administrator and having some internal meetings, the thought behind that is not to necessarily see, you know, who's done enough, you know, or to try to get into a situation, well, this person has done enough and that person hasn't. The thought is that in Sussex County right now, there are a number of projects that are actively underway, or there remains hope that they will get underway. But there's also a good number of projects that are not going anywhere. There may be an approval on paper, but the project's no longer under contract or not owned by the person that had the approval, or there's just absolutely no intention that the project's going to go forward. I know, you know, we get questions, I know I do, and the office does, and even the assessment, where some approved subdivisions have reverted back to a farmer who's either, you know, bought them back from the developer or never went to contract or went through foreclosure, et cetera, and they want to return it to farmland and get rid of all the approved lots that are on there for assessment purposes or whatever else. So that kind of led to the process where written requests would be made. So there'd be some trigger, you know, that would keep the viable applications viable, but then also eliminate the ones that there's just nothing there and there's not ever going to be. Yeah, it was the way to deal with that. So that's where these two ordinances came into play. When they were prepared for council's introduction, the extension dates were left blank. So in both cases, in both versions of the ordinance, they would extend all the approvals until January 1 of 2014. And in the case of the one that requires a written request, they would have to make that request on or before June 1 of 2013, too, and it would go through planning and zoning. So that's where we are on those. And, you know, again, it's this commission's obligation to make a recommendation to council, and you can also make, you know, if there's something that you think is worthwhile to recommend for maybe modification of the ordinance, it would be appropriate to do that if you think that that's your intention. Like, for example, if the commission's going to go through the exercise of considering written requests, you know, maybe the commission would want to extend that time frame out another year, you know, to make it worthwhile to go through that exercise, for instance. You know, so that's the type of things we can talk about. And if you have any questions, you know, certainly let me know.
So by the, what's being, what we're looking at today is talking about a year, but is, are we confined to that year in terms of our recommendations?
I think you could make a recommendation to county council.
I would hope we weren't.
I think you'd be, let me backtrack on that. I think you'd be confined to something, you know, to being more restrictive. You couldn't be more restrictive, in other words. I think you can expand it without any problem.
Right, so if we if we were to say, you know, this should be granted until 2015 or 2016, you know, recognizing that the environment that we're in today is totally different than when these applications were originated, that the actual reality of it is a year from now, we're going to be doing this back, talking about the same thing.
Right.
Potentially, or these all of a sudden they're going to start sunsetting.
Right.
So my concern is whether a one more year extension is enough. And for maybe some of the developers out there might be holding their breaths, you know, we're, by the time we get through this whole public hearing process, you know, we're talking, what, March or April before council could perhaps vote?
Well, no, actually, it's on for Tuesday. It's been fast-tracked. And one thing I forgot to mention, too, is that it is retroactive to anything that was valid at the end of last year, too, just to
right,
make that clear.
Yeah, it's all retroactive.
Right.
But typically, council doesn't act on something unless, you know, they have our recommendation on hand. So if by chance we didn't make that decision tonight, you know.
Well, in light of the fact that they're going to vote on Tuesday, maybe we should try. What do you think? Why don't we give it a good try? I have to agree with Mr. Johnson. Is the older I get, the more aware I become of how short a year is. I mean, a year is just not a very long time, especially in this persistent state that the economy seems to be in, and from everything that I'm aware of in my other endeavors, it's not being projected to get a whole lot better real fast. I just don't think a year is enough.
As part of that, you know, I would say, you know, the longer it goes, that, you know, in terms of just administering what's approved and what's, you know, really a valid project, you know, I think then that it starts maybe tipping the scales a little bit more to having a written request.
Which may very well indicate that the written request maybe needs to be part of the process.
And let me make one other suggestion just for the commission to consider on a recommendation on that. You know, again, I don't think it was anybody's intention to really get back to where we were, where we were trying to evaluate what was enough done.
Substantially underway.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's the way that the commission would want to go, you know, maybe a suggested modification would be, you know, that you have to submit that information that's in the proposed ordinance. But that final section of Section 4 and that version of it just be modified to say the Planning and Zoning Commission shall approve any written request submitted pursuant to this ordinance at any regular meeting, and delete that final sentence that talks about a finding of good cause. That I think that maybe just simplifies it, you know. That way all you got to do is submit the written request, you know.
For an extension, not a validation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
What's that?
It's for an extension, not this is what we've done.
No, it's just, the request would still include that information, but you would just be requesting the extension. There wouldn't be any, you know, trying to figure out whether it's enough or not, or if there was good cause shown to grant it. You request it, you say, this is what we've done, and if that written request is submitted, the extension be granted.
Can I have a question?
Mm-hmm.
You made reference that there really isn't a dead-end date. I keep reading January 1 of 14.
Yeah.
In both boards.
No, there is January 1. That's what I'm saying. The recommendation may be to extend that.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that's what you're
now, originally there wasn't a dead-end date when it was drafted, and the council inserted the January 1, 2014 date.
Yeah, that's
my thought. Mr. Chairman, I don't think a year is enough for us to even work our way through changes in ordinance or administrative procedures, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think I think we're better off to go probably on the long side, and then if council wanted to pull the reins back a little, they'd have that latitude rather than go on the short side. So to me, maybe a 3-year time frame is reasonable to propose as a recommendation, let council noodle through if they want 2 or 2.5 or whatever. But to me, the bigger question is what do we do with that time, whatever the council finally decides? And I've wondered since I've been on the commission, just the reality of the sun setting, and that how does the state or the county or the school system actually plan when a project is here today and possibly gone tomorrow? I mean, this whole planning process, we're trying to get so that we can plan our infrastructure and spend our money wisely, and we're approving hundreds of units of subdivisions, in some cases several hundred units, and yet they might be gone in a few years after the clock ticks. So I think we need to be thinking about getting rid of this issue from whether a project's going to go forward or not, by and large. I mean, we can't guarantee it, but to know that it's probably going to occur, we just don't know when. But we have to protect the county and the citizens of the county from changing an ordinance. And we should take the timelines that we have and say, look, if you build within these time frames, then you're grandfathered under the ordinance at the date of your approval. But if you go beyond these time frames, then fine, you haven't lost your permits, you're still valid, but when you do come in and say, I'm ready to build, now you have to bring your project up to code, whatever the code might be. So that a project can't sit there for 10 years and then all of a sudden you've changed whatever in code and now they're way out.
So what you're saying is you would fall back to the site plan approval stage, but not the project approval
stage. That's right. It's already approved. And in the case that the county code doesn't change, it's fine. But at least then when the state says, well, we want to do roads, they know that a project's been approved and likelihood it's going to be approved. In the case that it's going to languish for 10 or 15 or 20 years, we're going to get into this situation where the property owner is not willing to pay the taxes. And they're going to ask to get the approval removed voluntarily. It's a voluntary downzoning. Great, no problem. Send us a letter saying you don't want to do your project anymore. We'll change your zoning back to AR or whatever it might be, and we simplify that. I just don't see how this battle is beneficial to us in planning. I don't see how it's beneficial to the state in trying to plan infrastructure or school systems or anywhere down the road when we have something that may be here today and gone tomorrow. To me, it's illogical. But as far as today's discussion, you know, I think we need to do two things. One, propose a time frame in which is long enough for us to wrestle with the issue and come up with some kind of a reasonable either administrative change or an ordinance change so that we can address the issue with some more permanence. Because we're going to keep revisiting this issue for a while, the way it appears this economy is a slow-mo recovery at the moment, at least.
But you're going to just in the reverse of what we did several years ago.
I know.
We created the ordinance to try to put limitations on it. We created the sunset ordinance to get rid of projects that appeared that they were ever going to develop.
But Lawrence, I mean, it just doesn't rationally make sense from the perspective of trying to plan how we spend our money, one. And two, if they don't develop naturally on their own, the increased appraised value and the increased taxation rate is going to make somebody make a decision. It's not a small amount of money.
I'm not questioning that. I just want the commission to realize, because most of the commission members were here then.
Yeah.
So we went through just the reverse.
I'm sure.
Several years ago.
And the other thing that, really doesn't impact the county so much, it's kind of a, you know, down on the list of concerns, is in this environment at least, we're actually forcing some project owners to bring a project to fruition because they're practically all in, not because they really want to bring it to fruition or whether it should be brought to fruition, but because they've got so much on the dog's back that they can't back out. They can't wait because we've got these timelines, and they're having to just say, okay, well, I've got to make it go. And so we actually exasperate the whole economic situation by pushing projects forward that they just don't have a choice. They've gone past the point of real return. That's not really our concern as a council or the county. I mean, that's a more of a free enterprise issue, but that's just one of the sidebars of what's happening today. That doesn't necessarily have to happen. And those projects that are out in the middle of Timbuktu that everybody thought they were going to make a big buck on and now they're just languishing, well, the farmer's going to come in and say, give me relief, I can't pay these high taxes. And they're going to go by the wayside anyway.
I think that, and to respond to that, the thought was, you know, that right now probably with the, like if you look at the lot counts that we have in Sussex County with preliminary and final, it's really an artificially inflated number, you know, and what we're doing is just, you know, sort of continuing at that number in some sort of perpetuity. You know, is this an opportunity then to get that number to a more realistic levels, you know, of what is really out there? That's sort of the theory.
Certainly, you know, address both. I mean, yeah. Provide an easy avenue for people to get off the rolls as it is an avenue to stay on.
Well, it's a public hearing. I don't know if there's anybody here that wants to speak on it.
Yeah,
before you open the record, I made some notes for record.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Lang.
Since August of 2012, the department has received 14 time extension requests for subdivisions, 3 time extension requests for conditional uses, 1 time extension request for an RPC. None of these requests could be granted since they fell under the conditions of ordinance number 2208, which is a time extension ordinance from which ended on January 1st, 2013. The first 5 of those requests were responded to because they were plus 6 months ago or so, and they were advised that neither the staff nor the commission had the authority to grant a time extension since ordinance 2208 was in effect. Subdivision application reviewed prior to the adoption of Ordinance 2208 included all major subdivisions applied for from January 1, 2001 through December 2011, which was a total of 478 projects. And they varied from, through those years, the highest number we had was 100, that was in 2005. And the lease amount was in 2010 and 2011, which we only had 7 each of those years. Approximately 100 or more of those applications were affected by ordinance number 2208. The conditional use application reviewed prior to the adoption of ordinance 2208 included approximately 190 applications. As you know, many different types of uses. The number of applications affected by the ordinance included, and this is for example, which was conditional use number 1540 for 3 multifamily units for James R. Gibson, which was in litigation, and that goes back to 2003 because it was in court for so long. 49 of those conditional use applications may have terminated on January 1st of 2013 if another time extension is not granted. RPC application reviewed, and we went all the way back to 1970s. There have been approximately 140 applications, and of which 16 of those may have terminated on January 1st of 2013. In all cases, if the application had preliminary approval, in terms of the preliminary approval terminated on January 1st, the application could have been considered void. If the application received final approval, the project would have to be substantially underway on or before January 1, 2013, unless that project had a later termination date, because a lot of them have more time. Some of the conditional uses do also. Since final approval of subdivision RPCs have 5 years to be substantially underway, and conditional uses have only 3 years to be substantially underway. And it was referenced earlier, I think, by Marty, we've had several projects purchased by adjoining property owners. One or two have been approved for ag preservation through the foundation, the Agricultural Land Preservation Foundation with the Department of Agriculture. And others are still intended to be farmed. They were purchased by neighboring property owners. They've been advised that they just need to record an acreage survey to void out that subdivision. And they're not intending to develop. So I think it's either 5 or 6. Currently, and there's still some discussion. A couple of them haven't come in and done it. Dirty deed as far as changing it, but they still say they are. Just wanted to get a little history into it before you open the record.
Do you know, Lawrence, like how many lots we're talking about? You know, with Because, I mean, there's been, the numbers are just.
Now, I had to even
just ballpark.
I had it written in my notes, and when I typed it,
yeah,
was interrupted and forgot to add that one sentence on the number of subdivisions. They get those counted to around 100 that were affected.
100 subdivisions.
And it didn't count the number of lots, but it's substantial.
Yeah, really substantial, isn't it? Like,
it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't take the time to count.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I could do it, but.
No, that's right.
That's good income for the county there.
Mr. Lang, at what point is the property taxes increased? Is it that final?
Typically,
nobody's paying it.
You get final approval, and there's a slight adjustment to agriculture because you got an approval. And there's another adjustment to do lot rate assessments for those phases as they are bonded. They don't do it right up front on every single lot. They do an adjustment when they're bonded. Once they're bonded, they're up for the total.
So during this time period that is languishing between preliminary approval and final approval, they're not paying any more taxes?
No.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't change. It changes after they get final, just at a minimum, because they take them out of the agriculture land rate. And then when they do the phasing and bonding of the project, then they get assessed per lot basis.
Per lot, yeah. Okay. So while they're languishing, it's really not costing the property owner any additional taxes.
That's my knowledge.
Okay.
Right. In the meantime, there's a final site plan that's recorded downstairs on it. I mean, there's tax parcels that are assigned to it all.
Oh, yeah. They sign the tax map part, but they don't grade. They do do an adjustment because it's proposed to be developed. They don't do a full lot-based assessment on each lot until they post a bond guaranteeing it's going to be constructed.
Okay. All right. Mr. Conaway.
Gentlemen, I'm Joe Conaway, and I'm here tonight representing the Sussex County Economic Action Committee. And I apologize every time I see Lawrence for what I caused 2 years ago when I made this suggestion that we go with this extension, because all the work has fallen on Lawrence to do, and that's not what we had in mind. And hopefully, if we're successful and you reason that it should be extended, and I like what I hear about more time, because that makes an awful lot of sense, that we don't go back to having Lawrence have to do all this work again. And it is, as you know, a tremendous amount of work. I can give you some clear examples, not Sussex County, but in the town of Bridgeville. Two of the three major subdivisions that were approved under my administration have reverted back to farmland and been taken back by the farmers. How many lots? 1,800? 1,404. So 3,400 lots in the town of Bridgeville have gone back to farmland and are being taxed at that level at this point in time at the request of the farmer, who had a subdivision basically that was there. I think, as Lawrence has indicated and as Mr. Robinson has indicated, there are literally thousands of lots that no longer exist. And although I keep telling people I'm too old to be doing this, I suspect that from what I'm hearing that your business is going to go up, because there are no subdivisions to do some of the projects to meet the demands that are growing. The economy is not back. We know that. You know that better than I do by the amount of work you do. Just the zoning hearings you had tonight are not the kind of things you've had over the years you've all served. And it's not going to get much better this year, but it will improve. Again, I can tell you, I heard a report this morning that there were 10 houses started in Bridgeville this past month. So that, folks, is a great, great beginning. And I never thought I'd say 10 houses would be a great start, but it is. We believe that you will save projects. Tonight, you had the opportunity and voted appropriately on MJR. That was one of the projects that was rushing to get through. It would have never gotten to this level if your first extension had not been granted. And it was a matter of highway and determining how you were going to treat the sewerage. We ended up going for an extension of the Oak Orchard Sewer District, so that that project could be better treated by the county as opposed to going in a private way. There are people who need the opportunity to build a single house or to build that model home within a subdivision so that some things can get done. It benefits a lot of folks. When we first came and asked for this 2 years ago, one of the things that stuck in my mind and still is there is that one of the people who called the council and urged them to approve it was a furniture dealer. I never thought about that. But if they're not building houses, he's not selling furniture either. And if he could get someone to continue trying to build a house, then he had an opportunity to sell some furniture. So, I don't need to waste your time with a lot of talk about it all. You know as well as I do that things aren't the way they should be. They're going to get better. It just got to get better, and we need the time. CDAC asked for 2 years, and there was some indication that people were concerned that there were people who were going to benefit by this extension who hadn't done anything. Well, I got news for you. If they didn't do anything in the past 2 years, they're not going to do anything in the next 2 years or 3 years. They're done, and they're out of it. As Lawrence has said, there are farmers now back with property they thought was going to be growing houses, and it's not. Commercial projects have disappeared altogether. They're gone. Change of zones, and you'll get some of that, where once they've changed the zoning, then the taxes go up immediately. So you'll be getting folks coming in getting those down zoning because they don't want to be paying at that level for that much land. We believe it helps the people of Sussex. It may sound like it helps developers. Well, we think the developers do help by employing people in the construction industry, the hardest hit industry in this recession that we've just kind of limped through. And we'd urge you to do it. And Mr. Ross, you always amaze me. But I sat there and listened to what you said. And I was a strong supporter of sunsetting. I thought that made sense. Let's get rid of it. But I believed all the people who said that there's 30,000 lots out there. And I counted some of them. Collins Pond has a tax map number, and it's considered a lot. So there's not that many to start with. But the solution offered made a lot of sense to me, is if you approve the plan today and they don't build it 5 years or 10 years, when they decide to do it, then they have to build it under your new regulations. I can tell you there were subdivisions approved when I was county administrator, and Lawrence could call them by name, I'm sure, where a lot size was 5,000 square feet with septic. You can't do that. But that was a recorded subdivision. Today, if they came back under what you proposed, they'd have to upgrade to the point where the lot was large enough to support a septic, if in fact it could. I think that's a great idea, and we know that there is some concern that people need to have done something. We can understand that. I can't argue that they ought not be, but my biggest concern is that this should be a smooth situation, and that Vince did correct the problem. If you say substantial work has been done, that's always been a problem for Lawrence and Shane as to what is substantial. So changing that particular thing, having them request, maybe it's burdensome, but you're going to have a lot of hearings and a lot of things for you to have to react to, when I think in the long run you're going to approve them anyhow, because your interest has been over the years, let's do the right thing for the people of Sussex County. So we'd urge you to adopt these ordinances. Mr. Rodney Wyatt from Artesian is going to speak, and private utilities have a unique problem that may even fit in with what you have just mentioned. 2 or 3 years is certainly something that they need, because getting through the process with the state agencies is just overbearing. Mr. Wheatley knows better than most about that. I know we did a long, long time ago a project where it took 5 years to get final approval from Natural Resources to develop a spray irrigation site. And you all were granting extensions necessary, but you were caught into it. Court cases, challenges of that nature. With that, I'll shut up and answer any questions, but I'd urge you. See, that's what happens when I don't read what I write. So. But I'd urge you to adopt the ordinance that allows for an extension retroactive to January 1st for at least a year. But what I've heard, 2 or 3 years, certainly makes a lot of sense. And to explore the possibility Mr. Ross put on the table of having a sunset, but a sunset on the actual site plan, not on the project itself. Thank you.
Can I just, Joe, if I could ask you a question just real quick, because one of the things that we had talked about was, you know, just protecting the developers, you know, that are viable, you mm-hmm. know, and there's, and I'm just wondering with, you know, your experience working with different developers, is there an issue or a concern, you know, that their properties and their lot values are being devalued because there's such a, you could say, such an inventory in Sussex County that's a paper inventory but not a reality? Because that was one of the things that we were looking at was, you know, if we can have a way to get the ones that are never going to get built. Because I hear what you're saying, but I think in probably at least 50% of the cases, people aren't going to request for it to be removed, you know. What's that? I just don't think they will because they haven't.
It was running through my mind was that there maybe there should be an ultimate sunsetting, like 20 years. You know, if you haven't done it in 20 years, then you're done.
Now, Mr. Chairman, you know, I'm a free enterprise individual, and the problem here is just that we don't encourage people to make a decision. Instead of we want to dictate a decision. So this is very easily resolved, quite frankly, if you get to the end of the sunset of the site plan, and then you incrementally increase the taxes on the approved number of lots for that site, so that then the person has a decision at the end of that sunset of the site plan to ask for withdrawal or pay the increased rate of taxes to reserve to hold a reservation. It may not be 100% as if you had a final site plan, but it'd be somewhere in between. That's a matter of discussion. But then what you're doing is you're not dictating here's the outcome. You're letting people decide where their dollars and cents what the outcome is, and you're not actually removing things from the county tax base. You're encouraging an expansion of the tax base, and you're using that system to work. We can noodle through these things if we give ourselves time and goals and milestones, and we can work through these things. These are important issues. But I don't like for government to say, well, let's dictate the outcome. Let's provide a process and mechanism that the citizens actually do that.
And so, you know, one of the things we mentioned in the first go-around, again, some of these, the RPCs in particular, were rezoned and then the RPC put on top of it. There's actually more dense projects that you never approved that could be developed as a result of the zoning being in place and the RPC being sunsetted. So they're all concerns that, you know, if we're going to plan, let's plan right. And I heard tonight, I just, you know, I get upset with the banks, who I think have caused more problems than any, that now you have to go to a change of zone to be able to borrow money when a conditional use, which I always believed was the best way to go because you can condition it to make sure that the public is protected. That's outrageous. But, you know, it's their money, and they're going to lend it as they see fit. They're the problems we run into and urge you to adopt it. So.
But I just never heard the answer. I'm just curious what the property owners and developers hear, because I think that's important, you know, because
I don't know. I think at the height in the 2000, let's say 2005 to 2009, the fact there were so many choices that you could make that this project was coming. There are 3 or 4 projects along the same route. I think that had exactly the impact you think. Today, I mean, there are empty lots and the signs are rusting and. I don't think so. I think the opposite is now going to happen in that that those who have lost their subdivision now, there's no place to build the kinds of new construction that's out there, the, I don't want to say affordable homes, but the more, the better priced homes, I think, will be the wave coming in the next few years. And I don't see a lot of those subdivisions there now to be used for that purpose. So so I think that'll happen. I don't think there's an inventory now that's affecting. Even in the real estate business, and I don't sell real estate at all, but they're going through their inventories pretty quickly now. So.
Yeah, and I know with the inventories that have final, you know, and they're going through the bonding process, it's just, again, it was just sort of more the ones, like you said, that have, you know, the speculative, you know, signs on them that aren't, now they are being farmed,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're going to be farmed, and they're, you know, and they'll never be developed again.
Right. And that, but what you're saying is that's not affecting the folks that are going forward, that it's not causing any problems with financing or
okay. They take the MJR Bayless Estates. I mean, they've been working through all the problems with it and working diligently. And the first extension made it possible. If it wasn't for Lawrence and Shane's interpretation that if we got in December, we would be all right, we would have been lost, you know, on January 1st. And because the vote to extend the district didn't occur until December 14th. So, and you know, you already had met for the last time, and we could have never gotten in. So it has had positive effect. You have saved jobs and have made possible people to earn a living. So.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, sir. Mr. Wyatt.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and the commissioners. My name is Rodney Wyatt, and as Joe mentioned, I work for Artesian. I'm the director of the operations there. And we actually got together with other utilities and talked about this issue of the ordinance actually expiring. And then I had the good fortune of being chosen to be the one to meet with CDEC and talk to those folks. And we actually sent a letter to CDEC supporting it, and it should be in your package. I don't want to stand up here and waste your time and reread the letter. I will mention that it was signed by the senior vice president of Artesian, which was John Thader, Bill Andrews from Delaware Electric Co-op, the chief operating officer over there, and Jerry Esposito, who was the president of Tidewater, and also John Allen from Delmarva Power, the vice president. But basically, we met with CDAC, and we supported their request to the county. The reason why we support it is because we think that it will assist in the economic recovery of you know, housing and projects in Sussex County. It also will give the utilities an extension to complete infrastructure that's necessary to serve not only the projects that would be affected by the extension, but also existing projects that are not affected out there. You know, in addition to that, given us this opportunity, it promotes a cost-effective use of the existing utility and the design utilities that we have out there. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we are plan for these projects as they come to us and they ask us, will you have the ability to serve them, whether it be electric, gas, you know, water or sewer. And so we have to be ahead of the curve and we have to plan in the future. And I had a long spiel, but since Mr. Ross has already brought it up, I mean, we really need the time to not only plan, but to build infrastructure and then cost effectively use it so that the end user who pays for all of this has the best, the lowest rate possible. And Joe didn't mention this, but when I appeared at the CDEC hearing, I explained to him, even though we were asking for this extension, all the utilities felt that we would be asking for an ordinance change because the 3 years just wasn't enough for us to get through the process. And as a result of the deadlines, what it causes us is it causes us to go out and spend money that we normally wouldn't spend because the customer's not there or the infrastructure is not ready to be used. But just so we don't lose the approvals that we've obtained to build these this infrastructure, and also, you know, in some cases, our companies are, you know, publicly traded companies, which is very important that we show a stable environment for these companies that we are planning and doing things right. So all of these issues were, you know, reasons why we were supporting the extension, and we certainly support, you know, some different methodology of how these projects sunset, because it's very important for us as regional facilities providing, you know, public utilities basically through a private sector, providing them in a cost-effective way. With that, I know it's kind of late, so again, I won't read the letter, but if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Just, Rodney, if I could, because Rodney brings up a point, and this is one of the real difficulties with this, you know, when you noodle through things, is that, you know, Artesian or Tidewater, they're providing a regional, you know, wastewater treatment plant for five or six developments. Those developments and their approvals rely on Rodney's system so that they can go forward. Right. And Rodney's system relies on those developments so that they can build, you know, their system. And if any of them sunset at different times, it screws up everything else. So the whole thing's really intertwined. So it's, you know, we'd actually been talking at one point about whether to exclude or, you know, like you said, give utilities a longer period of time because right. So much other, unlike a lot of the approvals we do, so many things rely upon what public utilities have to do. And if you sunset a public utility, it has a domino effect on other things. But I'm just trying to get sort of as much information as possible because what I'm hearing some of the commissioners say is, you know, we should just do a blanket extension. But to go back to what we were talking about before, don't you, though, as a utility, or do you as a utility, also want to know what an actual number of lots will be? Because, I mean, if you're building a wastewater treatment plant that's going to treat 2,500 homes that's designed for that, wouldn't, because, you know, you budget it based on spreading those costs across 2,500 homes, wouldn't you also want to know if, you know, say 600 of them aren't going to be built so you can downsize your plant? Or is that part of the planning? I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's part of our planning. I mean, you know, we constantly look at projects, and we are aware of some of the projects that have gone back into, you know, farmland. And fortunately, you know, we do plan based on building things in reasonable phases. But at the same time, when you're putting in water or wastewater pipe, you know, if you put in a 20-inch pipe, you got to have the customer support it. But at the same time, if you put in a 6-inch pipe and these projects are already on the board, then you're kind of stupid because you're going to have to come back in and dig it back up. And there's only so much room in the right-of-way, and, you know, we're competing with other utilities. So there's a big planning stage. But the whole problem, like you mentioned, is that, you know, when projects are moving forward and we have to move forward on our planning and then they get stalled, the way it's set up, it forces us to put in infrastructure that's not going to be used. And, you know, the county, Mike, he doesn't put in infrastructure he's not going to be used. And if we put in infrastructure, it's not going to be used, then the Public Service Commission and the Public Advocacy Group, they get on us.
Yeah. I'm just like thinking of the situation where you've got, you know, a bunch of subdivisions in a line, and you've got to size it to meet the capacity all the way down the line, you know, and the people
right.
on the way are paying for that, the developers are, you know, for capacity that, you know, right now if it's approved, you know, you have to assume it's there, but it may not ever get built, you know, so.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's reasonable, I mean, you know, if we look at things not in a 3-year period, we look at things more in a, like a 10 to 20 year period. You know, we do look at some 5-year stuff, but most of the stuff is 10 to 20. And we build regional systems, and we got away from trying to, you know, do all these little satellite treatment systems. You know, I think a lot of those popped up, but they're just not cost effective
right.
to build. So we developed a regional approach, and, you know, it works better because we can provide a better product for a better cost. But at the same time, if these projects sunset because they just ain't got enough time or the financing slowed, then that makes it very tough on us.
So if I could summarize them, Joe, like if I've got this wrong, is what I'm hearing both of you say is that really it's not a real world issue that we've got all these additional paper lots, you know, and we don't really need to get those off. It's not causing any harm. I think that's what I'm hearing from
yeah,
both of you.
Yeah, that's not a problem for us because what we do is we have service agreements and we plan accordingly, and they have certain commitments and certain obligations. It's only when they go away that it's really a problem for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I there is there is no real-world issue on too many lots at this point in time. I'm sure there'll be those who are, let's say they don't like to see growth coming, would argue that point, but the fact of the matter is it just doesn't exist. They're not there, and they're not going to be there.
Because, I mean, and just for the commission's benefit, we weren't, you know, if it's not an issue, and that's what it sounds like you all are saying, you know, we don't want to create additional lever, like just like what Marty was saying, we don't want to create additional level of bureaucracy or requests or things that people have to go to. That was done in response to a perceived issue that people that did have viable projects would be in their interests or utilities for their planning. It'd be in their interest to get all this stuff that's non-existent just off, and this was a procedure for doing that. So, but it sounds like from what you're saying is really that's...
Well, you know, I don't speak for utilities because I have an obvious conflict with my wife.
Right.
And God help me if I get out of line there. But I could point out in Bridgeville, again, as an example.
She's probably listening on
I hope so. That's why I'm going to use Bridgeville. Yeah. We sized everything in Bridgeville with this expansion based on these subdivisions. Well, Bridgeville's sitting there now with a brand-new sewer plant, 300,000 gallons of capacity on a daily basis, that they've committed to these subdivisions that aren't going to be built. But, and the developers say, well, they're mine. Well, no, they're not. The town can sell them again with the provision that you're going to pay if this guy comes back and does all that stuff he said he would do 5 years ago. So you got to get realistic and make things work or we'll not get back moving things ahead. And, you know, we need to do that, so.
Joanne's here.
Yeah. Could I get a note?
You know, the other thing that I mentioned too is like on one of the projects, well, two of the projects we have, you know, we're pending DENREC permits, so we get fined if we put in pipe before we have the permits or do construction. But we were able to put in the DelDOT stuff. We went ahead and paid and put in the DelDOT stuff. We normally wouldn't have did that, but we had to, you know, sort of some progress, and you know, the deadline was coming up, so we put everything in that we could, based upon what permits that we had. Now, that stranded investment sitting out there, but we had to do it. And just as soon as we get the permit, if conditions don't change, we'll probably be spending money that it's not wise to spend at this time until some things happen.
Okay, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else wish to weigh in? Anyone else on the commission have any questions?
Well, one of my concerns, and maybe it doesn't need to be a concern, is with conditional uses, typically they come about as a result of frequently as because they've been gotten citation in the county that they weren't in compliance. So, for example, take the example of the trucks, the reefers.
Yeah.
If we put on the conditions that you have to put up a screening and this, that, and the other, and they decide, well, we'll just drag our feet. And there's not a time limit as to when it has to be done. Can't they just keep on doing business as usual without, because they've applied?
I think that's a little bit of a different issue. And I mean, that's issue of the policy that we have in place where if you apply, we're not going to violate you. I think, and I hear what you're saying,
right.
That would be that policy needs to be addressed, you know, that just because you apply doesn't mean you're in good standing unless you've got your approval.
Right. Because, I mean, they could apply and keep, you know, doing business as usual because they're in the application phase and now they're not being cited because they applied. And
that's more of an enforcement issue than
that's a discussion Shane and I have on a regular basis anymore. We've got multiple of these conditional uses were originally applied because they were in violation.
Right.
They came in and got approval. They had stipulations. They were given notice of their stipulations. They still haven't even submitted their final site plan, and some of them have been ongoing for quite some time.
Right.
And that's still a violation until they get all that information to us. And it's difficult.
That's something we need to address through ordinance.
Enforcement. It's not into the dark.
That's enforcement.
It's already on the books.
They can be closed. They could be shut down.
If we had that issue on subdivisions and other projects too. If you got an approval, and you're supposed to be substantially underway, and you're substantially underway, you got to a limit of being substantially underway and then stop. There's also some abandonment type procedures that we can look at because they haven't progressed. We have a couple of conditional uses, for example, that are approved. They put in their entrance, they put in driveway, they put in this and that, but they never put in what they were approved to build. Could have been condos, could have been, but they did some of the facilities, but that's all they did. Their approval was for specifically for a certain use. That's what they should be in the process of putting under substantial construction, not the little amenity that go with it.
Right.
But that's a question we've had. And a couple of them, we've actually come to the commission, and they've been determined to be substantial underway. And a couple others have. So we need to address that by, probably by ordinance, to be more specific about, which we just did recently on the conditional uses. So what's substantial underway? We just done that recently. So.
Well, in the situation Mike's talking about, because I know there's one that you sent to me, where, you know, they were violated and there was no enforcement while they approved, while they went through the application and approval process. And the restrictions as part of the conditional use approval limited what they could do there based on the record and public opposition. But there was no enforcement because they were still in the queue for the application and they're continuing to do what they were violated for in the first place. And I think that's sort of the situation that, that Mike was talking about. We don't want to buy them another 3 years of just continuing status quo where they're in violation of the original approvals and everything else, you know. But that, again, that's an enforcement issue.
And you recently provided a letter to one of our violators, I'll also call it.
Yeah.
And we can use that letter as an example for some other projects that staff can go with that first try. We can't get anywhere, I have to go later. There's several that we're concerned about.
Anyway, that's getting a little bit far afield, but yeah, right.
Okay, anything else?
Can I say one other thing?
Yes.
We've had several discussions with several parties about the two ordinances. What we heard, more support of before tonight, actually. We heard a little different tonight. Was support for just a dead-end date, whatever it be, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, that's not the issue, but a dead-end date without requiring staff to prepare requests for information from all these projects. Then the applicant providing us that information and all their, what they've done or not done, and then we have to turn around and go to the commission for each one to be reviewed. Look like a lot of excessive work.
Yeah, but just to clarify, yeah, but the commission would not need to send out notices to all these people. I mean, if it was an ordinance, it's an ordinance, it's a law, they'd have to abide by it, and they'd be on notice of it. So you would have, if that's the way that the commission went to go, you'd have until June 1st to send your request in to.
But how would they know there's any even an ordinance? Most of these people aren't even aware of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could, but the problem with that is you could say the same thing about the 3 year, 5 year time limit. They don't know that either. It's the law, so, you know, you're sort of charged.
Well, the ones that have it now were notified when they got the approval how much time they had, basically, but they don't consider it.
Or you can just grant it without
anything.
Blanket, just say, you know.
And just so we're clear, I mean, we went through other jurisdictions, and I'm not saying it's the right or the wrong way, but, you know, in response to Marty's question, there wasn't sort of, you know, a situation where the reverse would hold true, where they would, any ordinance that said they had to request to be eliminated from the assessment rolls, if I think I have that right. There weren't any that were like that. The ones that had some requirement, they required, without any notification going from the county to the developer, they said that the developer or the property owner has the obligation to come to the county and request the extension, you know, either just request it or request this is what I've done, or request it and say this is what I've done, and the county has to evaluate it. So, you know, that's how they went.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that it don't happen that way.
What do you mean?
They're all going to come back and respond. They didn't get notice that they needed to respond by June 1st or whatever. So the blame will fall back on the county for not giving them this.
And how would that work in terms of an appeal process? If a project is sunsetted because And they say, well, they never received notification. Could they then use that as part of their legal defense?
You know, I would struggle with that argument because, you know, you would go back and say, well, all right, if you didn't receive notification, you wouldn't have known that your prior approval at sunset 2 years ago expired. I mean, you know, that's just that's a real slippery argument to get into one way or the other.
But ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of it and send them a higher tax bill and they'll notice it. Yeah.
Anything else? Anyone else have any questions?
Can I clarify something? I don't often get the opportunity to contradict what Mr. Conaway said.
Go ahead.
Here it comes.
He made reference quite a few times to Mr. Lank, but it's not Mr. Lank. Mr. Lank, Mr. Abbott, mostly. We work together to do that. Not just me. Sound like it's just me.
Oh, I did mention
it. I know you did, but I'm just saying. It all falls down on Mr. Lank, but it falls down on you too.
Duly noted, and
duly noted.
Make sure that's
as hard
minutes.
As
duly,
makes duly, you have to be.
That's right.
Duly okay. Noted and widely known. Yes. Widely known. Okay. Anything else? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us until tomorrow to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office later in the day.
Can I ask tomorrow? Not part of the order, but just ask Mr. Robertson a question.
Sure.
Are you going to be president of council on Tuesday?
I am, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, Todd wanted me there.
I had to chew that.
Yeah, that's awesome. A good, I think that's probably wise.
Yeah.
Probably very wise. Okay.